This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hi. We had a couple of texters in helping me out with the word souvlaki, which is the Slow Dive 1993 album we'll be looking at today.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's souv, like S-O-O-V-E, larky, as in larky, malarky.
Malarky. And apparently it's a Greek dish.
Oh, yes, it's a Greek dish, some kind of pastry thing, according to one listener. Sounds nice.
Yeah, it does look nice, actually. I'm just looking at a picture of it right now.
I'm entirely uncultured about this.
well, this I didn't know what
delicacy,
it was either.
but it's a fabulous album.
Also apparently known as kalamaki.
Kalamaki.
Yeah.
There oh, my go. Gosh, it's getting deeper. I love it.
It is. But yeah, we are looking at souvlaki, the Slow Dive album from 1993, which is turning 25. And happy birthday indeed. So Slow Dive formed in 1989 in Reading, and the lineup is Neil Halstead on guitar and vocals, Rachel Goswell on guitar and vocals, Nick Chaplin on bass, Christian Saville on guitar, and Simon Scott on drums. And Halstead and Goswell had been friends since they were six, and by 1989 they decided they wanted to make music together. So at a Sunday youth group they formed a band called the Pumpkin Fairies, which is a really cool name.
That is very cute.
Yeah, the Pumpkin Fairies, which would eventually turn into Slow Dive, which is probably a better name than Pumpkin Fairies. But
I mean, if I were to be a fairy, I'd be a pumpkin fairy, I reckon.
Yeah.
I love pumpkin. I had pumpkin soup last night.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Pumpkin.
And, of course, then they recruited the other members, recorded a demo, and were promptly signed by Creation Records, who at the time were one of the top indie labels in the UK, and they'd also signed a lot of other shoegazy type bands like Ride and My Bloody Valentine, etc.
So shoegaze, is it a genre where you have to stare at your shoes? Like, do you have to?
No, you don't have to. It's one of those labels that's been given to the music by the music press.
Ah, yes.
And the musicians themselves are kind of, you know, not that into it.
Yeah.
And, it was kind of like the scene where everyone was, like, staring at their shoes and, like, not looking at the audience and
being socially awkward.
Yeah, basically. And that's hence the name shoegaze, but really it's got nothing to do with what's being played.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah, it took on. And, of course, this label had, like I said, had been given by the music press, who also called the scene, incidentally, a scene that celebrates itself, which is a bit of a dig there. The music press was quite dismissive of shoegaze at times, and I think this term itself kind of captures what they were thinking, you know, about this music scene.
Someone just texted in, "It's not a pastry," and I just thought it was real funny as like a singular text. It's not a pastry.
It's not a pastry. And
thanks for that, listener.
So despite this album doing well commercially, the debut album that they put out, their music was being well received, but a backlash was underway against shoegaze already from the music press. And this affected the band and their songwriting when it came to recording souvlaki. They became more self-conscious of their sound. They ended up writing and recording over 40 songs for this album.
Okay.
And most of the songs didn't even appear on the album because the record label wasn't that keen on the music they were producing.
Oh, well, they must have been very awesome then.
Yeah. So basically what happened was Halstead spent some time away from the band writing new songs and brought them back to the group to record, which was a new move because previously they'd been more of a collaborative affair. And these were the songs that would form the basis of the album. He wrote 8 of these songs by himself. And he brought them back to the band to record. And the sound of this record is very much classic kind of dream pop. Lots of guitars, lots of various layers going on, quite dreamy, loud wailing and dreamy vocals. And apparently Aphex Twins and David Bowie's album Low were very much an influence on this album. And I think you'll be able to hear those influences quite clearly on some of the tracks we play. It does get quite ambient in places. But the first song we're going to play is quite a poppy track. It's the opening track of the record. It's very dreamy. It's called Allison. And it's a song about a guy reminiscing about a drug-fueled dream about a girl called Allison.
Be here in the morning.
That is a very pretty song.
Very dreamy, very perfect for a Monday morning, actually, particularly on this gloomy, gloomy day.
Yeah, I feel like I'm entombed in my skin.
Yeah.
Like, as you do.
Yeah, as you do on a Monday morning. All right, well, the next track we're going to play is number 3, and it's called 40 Days. And this is about Neil Halstead's breakup with Rachel Goswell, because they were a couple when the band formed.
Do you reckon couples should be in bands? Because, like, there are some pretty amazing couples in bands, but something always kind of goes awry.
It kind of pros and cons. Sometimes, sometimes it ends really badly, a.k.a. Fleetwood Mac, but then it worked for them as well.
Yeah, but then they also made songs about it, and it's like... Like
exactly.
People love it. Fleetwood Mac
sold a million records.
Yeah,
millions of records.
Yeah.
So I think it has the pros and cons.
Mm.
Yeah.
So 40 Days is about
40 Days is about them and breaking up and his time spent away living alone in a Welsh cottage where he actually wrote this song.
Oh, good on you, mate.
Very nice.
Do you like my song?
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, it was a cool song, eh?
Yeah.
I should do a shoegaze.
You can perform like an offshoot shoegaze band.
Someone just texted in that Dunedin's Astro Children are considered shoegaze.
Mm.
I guess so. There we go.
Yeah, well, I mean, the term has stuck and a lot of people consider themselves shoegaze, so...
I think a lot of people also, you know, they liked the social awkward...
The social awkwardness.
High sensitivity
definitely.
Range.
No question, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, the next track we're going to play is track number 6. It's called Souvlaki Space Station, which is a really cool name for a song. And this is probably the most experimental shoegazy, quote-unquote, track on the record. Halstead cited dub music and ambient music as influences on this track, and you will probably hear that as you listen, particularly in the rhythm. See what you think.
All right. We'll be right back. Definitely sounds like a space station, eh?
It sure does.
Someone just texted in, thank you very much. They said, I was completely engulfed by this scene back in the day and still are to this very day. Thanks for showcasing this album.
Oh, that's a pleasure. That's great. Thank you. I hope you got a chance to see Slow Dive when they played at Laneway.
Yes, that was pretty cool. I didn't know much about them at the time. Oh, no. Excuse me.
Because apparently it was quite... I caught some of the set and it was pretty cool. And apparently people were crying in the audience.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much my friends who have followed them for a while, they were very emotional.
Mm, that's cool.
It also might have had to do with a couple of other things, like the drinks. By that point, it was a bit late.
And the heat.
In the evening. But they were very emotionally happy about
That's really it. Cool. Yeah. So, reception, legacy, key things.
Yeah.
So the album came out, and it kind of didn't do very well commercially. It only made it to number 51 in the UK charts, even below their debut album, actually. It only stayed in the charts for a week in the UK. They weren't actually helped either that the US release was delayed a year, which kind of took the wind from their sails and their chance to really promote the record in the US. And the initial reviews at the time were not that great. Melody Maker, for instance, said they would rather choke in a bath full of porridge than have to listen to it again.
Okay.
So there you go. and like I said at the start, kind of the media had a love-hate relationship with the shoegaze scene, and the press kind of turned on the whole scene by the time this album came out. But retrospectively, this album has gone on to become a bit of a classic and generated widespread critical acclaim, and it's now considered a very important shoegaze album and a very important 90s record.
Well, it's aged incredibly well.
Yeah, yeah.
The amount of people who are sounding like this now.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so, yeah. I guess it just didn't fit with the time because it became more appreciated after the fact, as a lot of albums do. I mean, a lot of albums at the time are kind of panned, not really fitting in, and then years and years later people rediscover it and like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Sometimes parasites don't understand what is truly good for them.
True, exactly. As for the band themselves, they released one more album in 1995 before disbanding after being dropped by the record label, of course, and then they reformed in 2014, and they released an album last year which has met again with lots of critical acclaim, and they continue to tour this day. They played Laneway earlier this year, and hopefully they release some new music soon.
I also went on their Instagram and I saw that they're playing, like, if you're in Fastos in Italy around the 26th or 29th of July, they're playing Siren Festival with Public Image.
I know, what a lineup. Public Image Limited, Slow Dive.
Then there's other people like Cosmo, Too Many DJs, Deus, Lalipuna, Mouse on Mars. I don't know who
that's a really cool name, Mouse on Mars.
But I don't know any of those bands, so I probably should.
Well, one of the beauties of music festivals is going along and not knowing people and then coming out and like, oh, they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, someone else just texted in, this is the best cry wank music ever, which I tend to agree, you know.
This is the best what, sorry?
To cry and to wank at the same time. Of course.
Anything goes, really.
Absolutely.
as you do. So with that, we're going to finish.
It's been a while since someone's pulled out the cry wank.
Yeah,
I used to say that all the time when I was a teenager. Are you a teenager? It is school holidays, eh?
It is school holidays, yeah.
All right, anyway.
So with that, we're going to finish with track number 7 and a song which many Slow Dive fans call one of their best. It's called When the Sun Hits. And apparently this didn't make it onto the album, with a couple of the band members convincing Halstead to keep it in the track listing in the end, which was probably a good decision.
Yeah, but I'm glad that they kept it in. And also, thank you very much for coming in.
No, pleasure. And thank you for the text messages. Always appreciate them.
Yes, yeah. So enjoy this last song.
All right. See you next week.
Yeah, see you
next week.
What?
Next week, of course, is first week of New Zealand Music Month. And for New Zealand Music Month, we're going to be doing all New Zealand albums like we did last year.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. We'll have a special New Zealand album next week. Surprise.
Okay, cool. I can't wait to celebrate.
Bye.
Bye.
happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.